Welcome to the Gabby Reese Show. It's all an experiment.
Hey, Gabby, you calling your kid? I need some advice.
A little bit more. Let's go.
All right, that looks great, Gabby. Let's make those legs longer.
So, G, how's it going with the kids?
You do not feel like training.
Come here.
More grass and then you gotta go.
What's your plan?
So Sarah, let's just dive in there, because when I was doing my, you know, just research to talk to you, I think it's confusing. I think it can be, I'm going to just pretend like I'm your student today. And I think it can be confusing for a lot of people where they're not sure what to buy or how to buy. And then I want to sort of, maybe have you share how you move through into being, you know, sort of an impact entrepreneur and even teaching people about connecting into maybe their purposes and or gifts and things like that. Because I think sometimes, like, at least for me, like, I feel more messy than in a certain way. Like, of course, I'm organized and I know how to have a practice in place to reach goals. But when I see certain people, I'm like, it feels like they have it more figured out. And so at times it can almost be like, oh, that's not for me, if that makes sense. And I'm somebody who's like doing it, if that makes any sense. So maybe just back up the story a little bit, because I know really you entered through sort of buying and luxury fashion, and even your family was involved, and sort of you know having a moment where you go, oh, I can do this, but I can do it a little differently.
Yeah. So the thing, where shall I begin?
Whatever feels where people can connect, because most people are sitting there going, and especially in this time, right, where we feel a little more handcuffed. I know, again, that your family sort of taught you about luxury and sort of beauty. And it's weird. Like, I actually think that's also in people. Like, my husband and I are like all functional. And yet I have a daughter that she's all about like things being beautiful, and she notices, and I'm like, does it work? Good. Okay. You know? And so I also think that that's an intuitive, and we need that. We need people to make spaces and things.
That's the thing. I think that everybody has their, I call it your unique power. So everybody has a unique power inside of themselves, which can also be called your purpose. Mm-hmm. And my unique power began when I was growing up. And I was like, I had an ability. My dad had a textile mill in Yorkshire. My mum was a fashion stylist. And I suddenly was really interested in the fabrics, the colors, what was going to make people feel awesome. And I realized I had a skill in choosing the winning fabric for my dad's design teams and then choosing the winning outfits for my mum's clients. And I saw the positive side that what we wear can have and the positive side of what we buy can have. Mm-hmm. So then I began my career. I had a dream to work as a fashion buyer for one of the world's top stores. And I began that journey to reach that first goal. And I think, you know, back to what you were saying about this, like, I totally believe that we're born with an intuitive gift inside of ourselves. I totally believe it. It came for me, this drive to sort of, obviously I had a family background, and I believe our purpose can come from our intuition coupled with our youth. It's these two things combined. But for years, I didn't know where this driving force was coming from. Like, right, I'm going to work in a shoe shop, age 16. I'm going to study retail marketing at university. And then I watched this sitcom called Absolutely Fabulous, a British sitcom, and that was all about Harvey Nichols, this store. I didn't come from London. I came from the north of England. And I was like, right, the girl is going to London and she's going to get that job at that store. And fate had it in a totally random way that I got that job in that store, but not in a direct way, not in an obvious way. I was working in a bar. the only time I've worked in a bar in my life, in a totally random area at that time called Old Street, which is now where all the hipsters are. But like that time, nothing was happening there. And in this bar was a guy called Michael, who became one of my best friends. And he was working in Harvey Nichols in their head office. And he said, I will help you get your CV to HR. And that was my route in. And I got that job.
I think that's an important point. It's very subtle, but it's really important, because I think when we are going to have a path of sorts, especially when we participate, right? Like nothing lands in our lap, but if you were doing all these things around it, these opportunities are being laid out for you, but it's not always in this obvious way. And I think for people who are in pursuit, and I think it's even important for parents to remember about their children, because I think you overthink it a lot of times, but that if you just have your head down and you're doing the work,
yeah,
that it's almost like you can't be kept from it. Like yeah. You'll find it and it will find you. And that might happen many times in your life, but it's just sometimes, I mean, I sometimes think that that's actually even another definition of faith, right? Like it's faith isn't just, okay, faith in something bigger than us, but these small amounts of faith that we can display even in this way in our life. Like, yeah. Did you, when you're working in a bar, an old, you know, old street or old town, are you thinking, are you always optimistic, or are you like, wow, I'm curious how this is going to come together?
At that time, I am always optimistic as a person. At that time, I was nervous, because I was like, I finished my university degree. I was like, God, okay, here I am. I'm in London. I've got the degree, but how do I get the job? And I was trying, and you know, and then suddenly fate intervened. And I think it's absolutely as you say, it's at that moment where you do feel most vulnerable and you open yourself up, and suddenly you decide to just step in and trust the process and let go. And that's when the magic can happen.
I think it's one of the hardest things to do is, how do I work really hard towards something? Because it's almost like that persistence is what it does allow that window to open. But when people are feeling vulnerable or defeated, it's sort of like, at what point, because you know this as being an entrepreneur, there are days where you sort of ask yourself, you're like, am I kidding myself? Like, am I totally delusional? You know, I've experienced that many times, and sometimes the business has failed and other times they went. But I think that this is something, an interesting space that we have to exist in as an entrepreneur or anyone who's trying to pursue their inner drive, right? Their inner, like you say, purpose is, you are going to feel that way. And sometimes you're going to feel like it isn't for you, and that you weren't right about what you thought you wanted to do.
Yeah, all of that, yes, and more. And I think, you know, and that happens every day. Like, it's a total ride being an entrepreneur. It's like every single day we're facing our fear. And the more we grow, the more we're tested. So the fear only gets greater. It actually doesn't get lesser, because it's like we're on, whoa, we just grew. And now it's like, okay, here's your next challenge. Okay. Let's face the next one. And when things don't go your way, you feel incredibly vulnerable, because as an entrepreneur, you have to face rejection. And when you're doing something and it's your purpose, your product, yourself, your soul, that rejection can feel even more like, wow, crushing. And the way that I'm learning to deal with things in deeper and deeper ways is that when that new wave happens of intense feeling of vulnerability or rejection, or that, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do next, what I'm learning to do is allow the feeling completely, because I feel within our dark feelings, our fears, our anxieties, if we only just allow them, they're actually giving us the seeds to where our growth is. And if we go into them completely and feel that complete surrender to the fear, and we allow it on the other side when we come through, it's like, I feel I've just gone up 5 levels. I get all this new awareness, creativity, direction, and roots forward. So I use the fear to propel me forward.
So you're at your job, you're in your dream job, you're excelling, you excelled in your job. And then you sort of reach a point where you think, because people know this, you know, whether we like it or not, there's a lot of waste and things around beautiful anything. And especially when you're talking about the apparel business and denim, you even, you know, denim is a big one. So where are you in your journey where you think, oh, this can be done differently? And how do you take the steps to do that?
So I worked for Harvey Nichols for 7 years. And that was at the beginning of my career from like 20 to 27. And so the first few years in any job, you're learning, you're excited, you're like, wow, wow, wow. I was buying 100 collections. I was in menswear, focused on that. I specialized in denim. And I introduced, so I had a gift. As I say, we've got all got a unique power. And mine is being able to see what the unique power is in a business, in a person. So I give that store the very positioning to enable me to do my buying, which was first to launch new trends. So I launched like skinny jeans for men, organic jeans, organic collections, upcycled collections. This is back in 2007. And so I was about these sort of specialized trends I was buying was accounted for about 1% of my budget. My total budget. But then I was also buying big known brand names, big, you know, mass luxury names. I wasn't couture. I was like the mass luxury names that we all know. And then suddenly I was seeing season upon season, the seasons first increased from 2 to 6 per year. Then the showrooms got fuller and fuller of stuff. And then I was like, well, what's different from this year's check shirt to last year's check shirt? Like, it's virtually the same. Why are you telling me this season it should be that particular shade of orange, not last year's shade of orange? And I was like, that's not fair to the consumer, because it's encouraging them to feel dissatisfied and have to constantly buy more. And then slowly, Gabby, I was like, it was again in my heart. I was like, this isn't right. This isn't right. And what I have always been passionate about is consumer buying behavior, psychology, our reasons for doing things, how we, part of the way we self-actualize ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with it, is through what we wear. And it's what we wear. And it's not our fault that an industry has led itself in a certain way, and the whole of buying everything, the consumer industry has sort of led itself a certain way since the 1950s of buy, 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 and creating an increasing sense of perpetual dissatisfaction. And without, so sort of having studied that, but this didn't come from a conscious point of view, it came from a deep part within me. I just started to go, this isn't right. This isn't luxury. The quality isn't, it's going down. The fabrics, the finishing, I was like, and they were charging more. It was all these things didn't align within me. And I became unhappy at that point, because I was like, okay, well, I know I'm really good at what I do, but, you know, what's my next step in my career? And I could only see doing more of the same for another awesome company. But I was like, I don't want that, because I want to use my skill to do good for the world. So it was at that point, I was really nervous and scared. And I said, okay, I'm going to become an impact entrepreneur, and I'm going to start to reimagine how we can make things for a new conscious age. Because I felt that there would come a time that the conscious age was going to be here, which is now today, which I'm really pleased about. But this is back in 2006-07. So I left. And I started with a pair of jeans, because that was what I knew and had become really intimately aware about.
So Sarah, when you talk about because, you know, everybody has it different. I feel like when you talk about contribution and purpose, it's like when we can all come to the table and offer whatever our perspectives are to enhance, elevate the group, right? So correct me if I'm wrong. So in a way, I feel that you look at people, connecting people with the right sort of uniform or expression will help them in, you know, I look at sometimes clothing as like almost like your armor or your suit that you go into the world and you express non-verbally. And then of course, verbally, like, hey, this is who I am. So I'm getting from you that you from very young could connect people with their right sort of external expression in, and by one of the ways is in what they're wearing. Am I getting this?
Yeah, it began with what they were wearing. And then I realized it was enabling people to actually, it was seeing within someone what their actual, it was beyond the clothes. It was what's their purpose and what's their unique about them and how can they bring that out into, like, to carry that forward in a really simple way that they can have that message to the world. So it began at that point. It began when I would just have this. So when I was in those showrooms and I would be, I always felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger where he's in Terminator and he got those like lines in front of his eyes where he's got seeing things and it's coming up. And I would just be able to say in my mind, okay, Harvey Nichols, first to launch new trends. This is this brand. These are all the types of clients that buy it. Then we're going to go this, and be able to pick really, really quickly what the collection was about and do it. And then I realized that I could do that in making products. Then I realized it was in making brands. Then I realized it was in giving strategies to companies. Then I realized it was seeing it within humans and leaders. So in every way, like just sort of having that formulaic way to be able to take complex things within a person and a business and take it out and make it really, really simple into a really simple statement that then that person can go out there. You know, when you were saying at the beginning, like you sometimes are like, how does that person sound like they've got their everything sewed together? And it's because they've been through a process, they've practiced it, they've practiced who they are, what they stand for, they've gone through a process to work it out. And so that's been my whole journey of kind of figuring out, I guess, my purpose. And that was how the beginning part was just jumping out into my fear, jumping from Harvey Nichols to be an entrepreneur and then figuring out the rest as I went along through, as you said, the highs, the lows, the failures, the successes.
What does that look like when you leave a prestigious, you know, and I would imagine, you know, we all live in these universes that you have a big stick, you know, you're buying for these guys. Everyone's going to make it easy for you and say like, please come here. We want to show you this. And they're accommodating you. And then you go out of that structure and you start anew. What's that transition? What's that process like? And how do you then almost start again? Because we, you know, that's the other thing about entrepreneurs or just anyone who wants to keep learning is like almost your willingness to start again at the bottom.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you? And also, did you have any things in practice that supported you when you were like, oh, this is a big mistake?
Not then. Definitely not then. Okay. But since then, I've built those grounding practices more and more and more to hold me and strengthen me for those days. So my meditation practice started quite soon after that, but definitely not at the beginning. I think that what I realized really, really quickly was exactly what I'm sharing with you today. You've got to be able to talk your talk in a way that is simple to communicate to the world around you who you are and what you stand for, what you can offer people, why you stand out and why they should back you. Mm-hmm. So that's where I quickly realized, right, I've got to be able to articulate my purpose and what I'm doing, because I don't have this big name behind me as I'm the buyer for Harvey Nichols. It wasn't there anymore. So I realized you had to really quickly take what you were doing and be able to articulate it in a really simple way so that you were creating your own brand authority for yourself. Because, you know, and this is part of what I teach people now, because basically I say, today we have 1 second to make a connection because our world is so overwhelmed. And normally when someone says, what do you do? It's the thing you spend a lot of your day thinking about, yeah. But you can't answer it in a simple way. And people experience the fight or flight reaction, like startled reflex. What do I actually do? Because you only can say what you actually do if you've been through a process to get to that point. So it was at that point I realized I've got to get myself together and be able to say what I do, what I stand for, and why someone should back me really quickly. And then I had to go out and start practicing it. And then you face rejection, and you go out there and you say, hi, I've got this idea. I want to build an organic, sustainable denim brand. Would you work with me? And then you face rejection, and then you have to practice doing the same thing and saying it again and again. And you almost have to write it down and have a script. And actually I didn't have a script at the beginning. And the turning point for me was to actually be able to write a little script for myself of who I was, what I stood for, practice it, and then say it. And then when I did that, things started to change because I was prepared.
So if someone comes to see you and maybe they're sure about their commitment, but they're sort of unsure about everything else, like how that's going to happen. And maybe they're even not an extrovert or, you know, something like that. And I know you have a master class, but is there a way that you start to get people to break things down so that they can learn I know you talk about the things that hold us back. You sort of said there's things holding us back, but if someone comes to you, do you think all of this is completely teachable?
Yeah. So, you know, you were saying like clothes are our armor. So is what we say about ourselves. It's our armor, but we have stories that we say, and we just repeat them and we say them, and they might not be the story that we want to say. It's just, we say it, who we are, what we stand for, without really having thought it through. And they might be stories that like someone else said about us, not who we want to be. So what I do, I start at the beginning. So I've actually got, I do an exercise. I sent it to you, but I think it was too late to have a look at it, because I just sent it to you 20 minutes before our call. Yeah. But I can do it with to introduce you to it now. So the exercise comes from this really brilliant book called Power Versus Force. And power for me was a really interesting word, because I was super scared to be powerful. I was told the thing about our purposes, that it's often comes from when we're young. So we all have this unique power inside of ourselves, but it becomes hidden amongst everything else we do, because there can be a lot of shame around our unique power. And this is
why do you think, because it's like, why would we have the audacity to think that we have something special to contribute? Or what do you think that is?
I think it's so many reasons. I think that the parts of ourselves that are different, we're told not to be those parts sometimes, not all the time, when we're young. So like my parents would tell me off if I was being loud or being big personality. My mum would tell me to be like Princess Diana. My dad would say, you're so powerful. It would, so all these two things were becoming like bad things to me.
Well, I think women will navigate that differently, or have to navigate it differently. And it's not at the fault of men. I just think that we're a little more surprised when women or young girls, I have three daughters, are, you know, if they're loud or they're ball breakers or they're highly opinionated or they're not placating. One, I have a daughter that is not interested in making anyone feel comfortable. She's not, and it makes me uncomfortable. I see it, my reaction as a parent, like, oh, you know, we're supposed to be quote nice and all these things. And it's an interesting, that is an interesting programming, because I think to this idea of maybe creating baseline decency would be good. But that if you have different feelings than other people, or maybe you don't feel like talking, like this is the other thing, like this idea of humoring people. I think that gets put on the feminine group more than maybe the masculine group. And so it is interesting, even as someone who enjoys being hopefully a powerful female, that I see the impulse myself to try to pull back on my daughters a little, like, hey, we're here to make them feel good. It's like, actually, no, if you have a baseline level of respect and decency and you say, hey, hello, and you look in the eyes, and if you're done at that point, like you don't want to be engaged, I think that's okay too. Yeah. I don't know, but it is a very interesting and deep, you know, behavior where with sometimes if you had sons, you'd be like, oh boys, they're so crazy, you know?
Yeah. And these things are going back, these imprints are going back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Yeah. So it's no one's fault that we learn them, we think them, but there's a way we can get through it and kind of start to go, okay, who am I really? So I created from this awesome, amazing book, I created a really simple way so this is David R. Hawkins, Power versus Force. And on page 150, there is a list of these incredible words that on the left side are words that resonate from energetically from the word power, on the right side, the word force. So I ask everybody who goes through my program to really choose words that resonate from them from a powerful way, to choose 11 words. That's the beginning of the journey. Those words, I connect them to your chakras. And it's really weird. I don't tell anybody. Now you guys all know, but I don't tell anyone before they do it what's the 11 words all about, why 11? And it's really interesting because nearly every single time people pick the words in the perfect order from top down and from their most like conscious and inspiring and powerful words here to the more nurturing words as we go down, and they always fit beautifully. And so I use these as the beginning of how you can start to be able to actually say, who am I? What do I stand for? What's my unique power? And what's my unique brand positioning in the world? Because we use those 11 words to create for each person a really unique brand positioning of who they are. And those words become like one client's are, she's a chef and an entrepreneur, and she makes real food and things the French way. And that line comes from the 11 words. So I do that with every single person in a really, another client's is enabling artisans globally and really simple. So she, if someone says, what do you do? And she's out and she's got that, she knows, she goes, I enable artisans globally. Mm-hmm. And then by having this and working through this process, then you're so much more receptive to take advantage of amazing opportunities and connections as they happen. Because if you say, I enable artisans globally, and you've got it right there on the tip of your tongue, someone can say, oh my God, you must meet this person, that person, and then the rest unravels. So that's the beginning of how I do.
And maybe for, you know, maybe for someone who it's a new, and you know, a new environment or new terrain, where maybe they were in a sort of structured system, and then they're trying really to find this unique place, which is,
yeah.
And like you said, to try to really drill down. I mean, every business has a mission, vision, statement. It's like we all do it because we're trying to, well, what do you stand for? What do you want to do? And it's also a guide, right? It's a manual that when you're producing anything, you go, well, does this fit our mission, vision, and who we are and things like that? But I would say that maybe having, because at first I look at things that are so brand oriented or organized that way. I almost have a resistance against it, me personally, because I don't know why. I think it's because I've sort of just pursued through my gut and had maybe the luxury. If I came from one arena in sports, I didn't have to be that succinct, possibly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what's interesting for me to hear it phrased this way is that I could also see someone being able to say this and then it creating a conversation.
Yeah.
Where people could start to know where and how to understand quicker what this person wants. And it's not such a big discovery. So I actually really appreciate that because, you know, I think it's important to always have an open mind to things. So let's say you get someone, they start to understand how they want to insert themselves into the world, from which angle and what perception you're hoping people will have, that it sort of lines up with your values. Let's say you're going along, you have someone comes to you and they've maybe done something way over here, you know, in something conventional. They're a business person, they're an employee, they're whatever, they work in insurance. And then they come over and they say, okay, I was this, but now I have this yearning. Maybe it's somebody who's had a family already and they're looking to express themselves in this new extended version of themselves. Is that process different? Like, do you take them through the process differently? Because it's almost like we're a lot of things. And you said it yourself. Hey, I had this moment where I'm like, am I going to just keep doing this? Or now am I going to go to the next? Do you have anything? Is it different for the person who goes?
No, it's the same. That's the beginning. So what I shared with you is the beginning. And then with that person who's pivoting from insurance to, I don't know, being an art dealer, for example, it would be, okay, so the next part after the part I shared with you is to start to get clarity, I call it, to analyze everything that you've done. Now, obviously, this is not a new thing. We all in business, we're analyzing every day outwardly, but to look at ourselves internally and sort of give ourselves a health check of go, what am I really, really good at? What did I do in my career that made me the most, gave me the most joy, gave me the most impact, gave me the most money? And so that person in insurance, I'll break it down to go deeper. It was, okay, insurance was the surface, but what were you doing underneath the, beyond the insurance? Were you great at connecting with people? Were you great at selling? Were you great at the deal making? And then we'll find that DNA of what you've done within your career that you love. So I call this the hero product analysis. So everybody's a hero product and everything is a hero product. I look at it all through those eyes as I would do at Harvey Nichols. And I look at the person and go, okay, so what was your DNA of the things that you've done as a hero product? And then when we're looking at this pivot, we're going, okay, well, what were you doing? That's when we start to look at your youth and start to look at like what was your story. And as you said, everybody's done so many things in their lives. And at times we might want to drop things that we were before. Like, you know, if it was, you were always introduced at a dinner as, hi, I'm Gabby, I do this, and you don't want to be that person anymore. It's not, you've grown out of that old version of you. So I kind of, and people will say to me, I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't, and I'm like, all right. But let's look at what was that person all about? What was the deeper thread? And this is a real challenge because we can find the deepest thread, within the person. And I'm actually thinking of the lady I mentioned to you, the friend. She's now a documentary filmmaker. Her career started as a ballerina and she's been a Pilates teacher. And it was, how does she span all these threads together of everything that she's done? And she was like, you know, I'm no longer the Pilates person, I'm a documentary filmmaker. And we were able to unearth what she was doing at the root of everything, was she was inspiring and empowering people through movement and through different disciplines. And now she does surfing, and we were able to weave together this beautiful thread of all the disciplines that she had done to create a top line strategy mm-hmm. of what she does. But you've got to, so that's how it works in terms of, I hope that makes sense.
We're gonna do a quick thank you to one of our sponsors and get right back to the show. Talking about Laird Superfood is probably one of the easiest ads I can do, because I watched my husband drink coffee for 20 something years. And then in 2015, he and a friend of ours created by accident a vegan plant-based coffee and creamer business. And now we've got tons of other products. We have hydrate products and greens and plant-based protein that doesn't upset your stomach. Imagine that. The taste is amazing. Trust me. I did all the taste tests in room temperature water, so we know how good this stuff is. We've got cacao creamer, one of my personal favorites if you're trying to avoid sugar. Unsweetened creamers. Remember, everything is vegan. It's plant-based, easy to use. And so if you want to get a discount today and try Laird Superfood, all you do is go to lairdsuperfood.com. That's LairdSuperfood.com, LairdSuperfood.com. And if you punch in Gabby2021 at checkout, you will receive a 20% savings. This product is something that I use pretty much every day in my coffee. We even have matcha. So let's say you're not a coffee drinker. You like chai. You like matcha. We really tried to bring you the best tasting with the highest quality ingredients, no artificial flavorings, and at the most reasonable price that we could. So if you've been wondering about Laird Superfood, or you want to stock up on Laird Superfood, go ahead and head to lairdsuperfood.com and get your savings with discount code Gabby, G-A-B-B-Y, 2021.
I think sometimes too, we have these special gifts and we apply them in a structure that's presented to us that we're supposed to do. And then we go along and we realize like, hey, I've done what I'm supposed to do, but maybe it's just something bigger. And that's also like how we grow up, right? Like we communicate a certain way. And then I think for women, it's closer to 30. For men, it might be closer to 40, where we go, okay, wait a second. I need to be really clear about how I'm feeling. I'm not really saying, you know, and it's getting those skills, because you don't want to blow up your life, your professional life, your personal life, but you're trying to figure out how do I expand who I really am, you know, within these lives. And it's interesting because a lot of times the people closest to us are like, well, wait a second, you do this. And it's like, or you act like this, or don't you like this? It's like, kind of. And maybe it's maybe I've outgrown that or expanded that. And it's an interesting way thing to work out of that. You know, especially if we're trying to be a dutiful, measured citizen. And that at times it can provoke people. And also because that makes people have to look at themselves. I'm sure you see this where it makes people uncomfortable, because it's like, wait, if you're changing and you're expanding, I have to now look at what am I doing. And I think people have to really be careful of that. People who react negatively or over too much, it's like, well, no, because you're just representing something that makes them have to look at themselves. I don't know. Do you give people an idea in your masterclass? You talk about the things that, you know, holding you back, right? Maybe you could just share a little bit about that. The fact, you know, you talk about focus and just wanting people to focus on their unique part, on their real purpose. But also, what do you say to them when you say, are you prepared to almost like let part of your old life die? And that might even be people in it. Is there ever conversations around that?
No, I just kind of take people forward on that journey and then support them through the journey when that comes up. Because I say to people at the beginning and in the masterclass, like when I say that we all tell a story of who we are, and we're all bigger than the story that we tell. Our subconscious mind does everything it can to protect us and to keep us safe and keep us small. So we all create constructs to try and stay safe and small. So through this journey of actually unlocking your unique power, you're going to face these fears, because it goes deepest to the deepest root, which is all about feeling worthy enough to receive. That's basically what I come up against all the time.
I get it. Because also, let's define it as success. And I don't mean monetary success or attention. Just being able to do something that you really want to do is a really high level of success. And then if you add some other things, like you're recognized in your field or you are making a good living, it's separation. And why do I, right? Like, why do I get to? And why do I deserve, or am I allowed? I understand this so perfectly. I think for me, and I'd love to hear your take on it, is I always tell people we don't really deserve anything, but we just are receiving grace. And you know, there is a beautiful quote, and I've probably said it before, which is the winds of grace are blowing all of the time. We just have to raise our sails, right? And yeah. So maybe, why, I wonder what that is. Is it so that we get accepted by our tribe, and that we're just a part of, and that somehow if we get amplified in any way,
it's safer to be in the box. And it comes back to that, like being told off when I was young. It was like, because I was putting my head up, I was no, stay safe, stay small, stay safe. And it's the absolute base fear that comes from our baby brain, like to keep us secure. But how I totally share what you were just saying, and how from a spiritual point of view, I've been taught we're here to serve, and we're here to serve in the biggest way that we can. So I'm Jewish. I follow teachings of a Jewish teacher called the Chabad Rabbi, and he would say, he was a guy that was recognized by Ronald Reagan in the 80s. And there's an American holiday day dedicated. I don't know which one is it. It's the Giving Day or something, that's dedicated to the Chabad rabbi. And so he was like a guy, an amazing guy that many people don't know, but he was really recognized around the world for teaching a principle that we're here to serve and to grow, and our job as humans is to actually face our fears and to, as I call it, be the lobster and break out of your shell. Like lobsters are constantly, they outgrow their shell, they have to hit their shell against a wall to break it free and release the bigger version of themselves. Growing is pain, it's stepping out of our comfort zone, and it's so scary, but it's even more scary to stay the old version of ourselves, because then we just trap ourselves into all sorts of unhappiness and unfulfilling relationships, mostly with ourselves and then those around us. When actually we start to have the courage to grow and to serve, and to we begin to shine, and then actually we're shining in our authenticity so that the people around us can see that. And you know, most of the time, I actually haven't had an experience. You know, it might be that I've had an experience. I actually haven't, Gabby. When I'm in all my authentic self and I'm rising and shining from a place of authenticity, there hasn't been a space where people have knocked me, because I've been secure that I'm rising and shining from the place of my authenticity. I think it's when we're doubting ourselves that we're leaving room for the people to kind of do this. This has really helped me in the, you know, I'm here to do a job in my human life. I'm here to give back, to do good, and to grow as big as I possibly can. So that's helped me to to go for it and to just have the courage to go forward.
Is there ever a conversation? Because it's always like, you know, you talk about this sort of checking in with oneself. I think as we go and maybe let's say we have a stride where we're rolling or it's happening, it is very easy to, you know, the ego can be like, good job, right? Like, hey, you're doing a good job. Instead of that portal mentality of like, I'm a conduit for whatever gift I can contribute. Is there ever a conversation around like even having to, you know, it's funny. It's like getting people to break out and then getting them to self-regulate simultaneously. Yeah. I don't know. Is there ever a conversation around having that sort of internal checks and balance and maybe that one or two people that really are for you that can, but who will also say, hey, like, take it easy. You know, like, I don't know. Cause people don't realize success is so scary and then also dangerous, where you start to buy your own BS or you think you're so smart. Do you ever have that sort of conversation?
Well, I teach everybody to have practices to give themselves the check-ins in all the different ways, because I say to everyone, like, as we grow, all these different things come up. So I teach people a technique that's from the 50s, the 1950s, called the mirror technique. I don't know. It was from it was about sales, and it was an insurance guy in the 50s taught people how to do sales. There's a couple of books, The Magic of Believing, which this is where it came from, by a guy called Claude Piello in the 1950s. And they didn't know what we know now about our brain and about energy, these things. They would teach a technique called the magic of believing, which would be check in the mirror and repeat to yourself like who you are, what you want to be, and then you'll feel great. What I say, so I've done that myself and I teach everybody, and I say, no, it's not just repeating an affirmation and then suddenly you wake up and you feel great. I said, the technique of the magic of believing, you look in the mirror and you talk about who you are. So the things that I've shared, thought leader, who you are as a thought leader, your unique brand positioning, the real story of who you are. You practice that in the mirror. And then you check in with your body. And the thing is, you'll start to feel where the checks and balances need to happen inside. Because so I teach everybody to be their own check and balance. Like, we have to check in if we're acting from an ego mind. If that's happening, we need to check ourselves, because it's where we can make really big mistakes. And we also have to check where we're feeling massive resistance, because I've learned that where we feel often massive resistance is the place we need to go to learn. It's the thing we need to conquer. Then in the same mirror technique, it's where are you feeling unsure of yourself? Where are you doubting yourself? Where are you feeling not worthy enough to receive? And then I say to look at each of those parts within ourselves. So I think the body awareness is really, really great, and using anxiety, using the things that we're feeling inside to actually look and say, what's going on and what do I need to improve? What do I need to check? Where do I need to give myself self-love and self-care and reassurance? Where do I need to check with my ego and say, you know what? Like, actually, it doesn't, if that person was 10 minutes late, it doesn't mean how dare they be late for me. And, you know, it's like, leave your ego at the door, because you'll end up sabotaging something great often if the ego pops up. So it's definitely having that awareness and being your own accountability partner. Really, we're accountable for ourselves. And I think really being accountable in the sense of, you know, you're so amazing. Each and every person is a diamond. Each and every person is incredible. Each and every person has these amazing gifts to themselves, for the world. So it's our job to be able also to get over each thing, to get over our own BS, our own excuses, our own doubts, our own self-worth issues. It's like, again, it comes back to, we've got a job to do. Like, you know, whatever that job is, you know, it could be it's anything. It's how we serve. But I just know that, when I'm dying, I want to know I used all my skills to do the best job I could.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
What if, you know, and I think it's an important point that contributing is not, you know, we've made all these scales and defined all these levels of success or contribution. I think people have to realize it's when you are in your essence and you are doing a job and you're doing it to the best of your ability and it does genuinely reflect you in some way, that contribution is equally as important than I'm the owner of the company, I'm the CEO. You know, it's like, it's not big and small, right? It's an equivalent. It's like, you know, that the reflection, like you said, is authentic. So let's say someone is listening to this and they think, oh God, that sounds like a good idea. I have no idea. Like, you know, the idea of like where to start between COVID, between maybe they had some kind of career before, maybe they said, I'm going to dedicate some time to my family because that feels right. But now I'm sort of ready to re-explore. And I think a lot of people, they hit a wall, right? Like it's either an age thing or they just don't even know how to start again. What would you say to them? What would it be? You know, and obviously I'll put up where people can join. Well, how long is the masterclass? How does that work, by the way?
It's a 60-minute live masterclass.
Okay.
That's it.
Perfect. So let's say, you know, they want to pursue that, but what would you say are some of the first threads that people could just to even activate that process of self-inquiry and go forward?
To start journaling and start reading, like, and to give yourself some time and space to actually have this inquiry, set a goal, like, okay, for the next month, I'm gonna write a journal of all and list out all the things that I've done that bring me joy, all the things that I've done that I'm really, really good at, all the things that I've done that I'm really passionate about. And what I would love to create in the next 10 years, and then just list it. It's called a hot pen technique, where you just write without really from, and also really important, I try to share with everybody to come out of your mind and come to your heart and your tummy area, because that's where your intuition is. And also, journaling may be your thing, or doing voice notes may be your thing, like going for a walk, because people's minds work in different ways. Sometimes journaling can be too like constrictive. So the other way, you could just go for a walk every day and start to voice note those points. And then also start to read books about different things that inspire you or different people that inspire you. And then say, okay, at the end of the month, I'm going to start to write some ideas, top five ideas of what I would like to do. But also, what's really grounding about this exercise is always base it in this analysis point, because when you actually start using analysis for your own life, it takes it from like, whoa, like the overwhelming, oh my God, I don't know where to begin. And doing analysis grounds you by going, okay, what did I actually do? Writing it down that I loved, and starting from there and seeing it in black and white, and then building it in steps forward.
I think that's a really important point, because our feelings and our emotions about ourselves and our life is overwhelming. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, it's like, even in the notion of our purpose, is still a practice that we have to strategize and such. I'd be curious just to pivot a little bit. Okay, so when we talk about apparel and luxury things, like, I've actually made a commitment a few years ago where I will buy, I go on the Real Real or Poshmark or anything, because I'm like, listen, I'm like your worst nightmare, right? Like I'm like I'm unfancy because I'm 6'3", nothing fits. So and even when I was in fashion, I forewent any connection to like apparel. Like if you said to me, if I said black, a black dress, black slacks, black shirt, because my mind's on other things, right? And I'd love to get your take on that. If people want to do it better and more consciously, maybe just direct us where we can go. And we use the word luxury, so that means there's a price tag to that. And maybe
excited. I'm so excited to share this part with you because it will, like, I hear what you're saying, and you know, it's really funny that from my career, I'm looking here in front of me right now. I'm in my studio area and there's a rail of clothes that's all my old things that I don't wear anymore that I'm waiting to resell.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect example, I think, of what's been going on now, especially in COVID times. Everyone's like, what am I doing? I don't need all these things. But why do we buy all these things? And the reason why we buy so many things is because we actually haven't got to the same, like our purpose. We haven't got to the root of who we are, what our style is. So we're always seeking. And so we buy something and then we go, we don't connect what we're buying to how it makes us feel.
Right.
So this is actually my biggest tip in being a sustainable shopper going forward, is to take your wardrobe and, you know, do spend again, sort of give yourself the luxury of time, like send your kids out, ask your husband to go take them, get a babysitter, do something. Give yourself the luxury of time, an evening or an afternoon, and try on everything in your wardrobe and stand in the mirror and say, how does it make me feel? Because Gabby, so much about confidence, it comes from actually what we're wearing. Like, not, it comes from feeling comfortable and showing the right bits of our body off that we feel confident about, wearing the right knickers, or, you know, like, so wearing clothes that aren't really tight, because if your clothes are really tight, then you feel uncomfortable, then you feel conscious. So it all begins.
I call that the stuffed sausage. I'm like, listen, if you ever want to, you know, again, I'm a big girl, right? I'm 6'3", so I go between 175 to 100. I'm 190, right? Like between 170, 175 pounds to 178 pounds. And I always go, listen, if the worst thing you can do is wear something that's too small, because I'm appropriately sized. My body is pretty balanced. I guess I'm bigger. I have some muscles, but overall it's like, if I just wear the stuff that fits, I'm not going like, oh, maybe I should lose a few pounds or all that gibberish. Just wear stuff that fits you.
Yes.
But I do find it fascinating. So, okay. So people can, if they want to get something new and pretty and shiny for something, or just because they want that, there is so many sites now that do have these clothes that, I mean, I buy clothes that have tags on them. I mean,
yeah, I buy them. Exactly.
I mean, people, so if they're weird about certain things, it's like, listen, even these sites there's even a filter that says, hey, new with tags, NWT. So it's not about not getting things that are special or nice, but there is a way to buy more consciously. Do you have other tips of like brands?
There's many ways to buy more consciously. So buying secondhand clothes is great because they are unique and you can get really amazing designer prices at less price. You can also look for companies like Zara. I love Zara. Zara have a whole section on their website called Join Life. And so all of Join Life is sustainable. And so much of their, I see that they're real, they're always future facing, Zara. I think they're a great company and they're always ahead. And they have made it a huge mission for their company to make more and more, like more and more and more and more of their collection sustainable. So in the Join Life area, you will see that every item has like a traceability and where it came from and an origins, in the sense of it might use recycled fabrics, bamboo, all these sorts of new textiles, and everything in that area is sustainable. So you don't even need to think about it. And it's all the same price as any other Zara. So affordable and sustainable. And then there are more and more sustainable websites where you can actually find clothing that is from sustainable brands. And then you can have things made for yourself as well. Like, you can also look at your clothes and see how you want to customize your own clothes and reuse them in a new way. You can also do swapping parties with your friends and re-engineer your wardrobe in that way. But I really would say the first point is to figure out your own style as well by like doing that technique with the trying things on, and then really looking at your parts of your body that where you want to show things off, what feels good, looking as well what kind of colors make you feel good, make you feel confident. And so then when you're going forward to shop, you're shopping more consciously, so you can actually use less budget. You don't have to buy as many things because you're not going to waste the things that you buy. A big reason why we waste things is because we don't feel confident, actually. That's why we didn't wear them in the first place, because we didn't do the exercise at the beginning. So if we get it right from the beginning, then you could actually spend less and then buy a few less pieces, make them better. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
I think I finally learned maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I would go, because I have this fantasy of like pretty things and flowy things, right? But that's not me. That's not my physique. That's not my personality. That's actually what I'm not looking for. It makes me feel vulnerable. I want to feel, it's weird. I don't want to feel in my clothing anything over vulnerable. I want to direct everyone to my head and my face, and I want to get into it. And I want to, when I was very young, this is how wacky I was. And I was working, I was in fashion, but I was playing volleyball at university. I was 19 or 20, and I was sort of starting to get really interested in this idea of like business and being serious and trying to be smart and taken serious, all this stuff that you can't really control anyway. And I used to buy Norma Kamali suits because I was like, no, these people are going to take me serious. And actually, weirdly, that's 30 years ago. I have a few pieces still because they lasted forever. I mean, they cost a lot of money then. But it was interesting also, there's another part of the cycle, which is once you start to live it and be it, the clothes become less important.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, I was using that to help me get along. Yes. But now I'm like, I have no problem if I went to a meeting in a pair of unripped black jeans and a black t-shirt.
Completely agree.
You know, it's like, hey, no, we're about the work, right? So it's a funny thing where you use it sometimes, and then sometimes you almost go beyond it.
Yes. And the more you find your purpose, the more you go beyond it. I mean, so I went through this process as well, guys, like to find, like to do the wardrobe exercise. And I realized for myself, I'd always been hiding Gabby. I guess I didn't want to show my vulnerability. And I hid that by wearing really colorful clothes and snazzy clothes and patterns and bling, 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 bling. So it was all kind of hiding myself. And so as I kind of found more and more confidence, did more and more of the work, I stripped myself back so that now I only wear really simple clothes because then I jazz them up with a pair of earrings and that's it, because I kind of found myself. And I think, and when you find your purpose, you can, as you said, you're not as reliant on having to buy things to identify yourself through that name or that thing, because you found your own self and who you are and who you stand for. So you don't need the label when you're out in the restaurant with friends to be hiding amongst. You're like, hi, I'm so-and-so and I stand for this and, you know, accept me for who I am.
And I think that that even is the notion as we move through life, is that transition from even that identity, right? Like, it's like even the goal, like it's like almost reaching even then beyond that. So what you have the ability to participate and contribute, then you can be still in that in general. So people can be ask you what you do, and it almost, it doesn't become as important to you to prove to them or show them. And I think that it's like all these cycles that get us to a place where we actually can do even less, if that makes sense. Not less contribution, just less of the theater, less of all the stuff, you know? Okay, so in finishing up, and Sarah, I really appreciate your time. For you personally, you know, what is your next dream? Because you've been doing this for a while, and so this is obviously bringing you to a new place. It has to, because then you learn more and you see things and you go, oh, wow, there's a gap here. Is there something for you personally that you are, you know, wanting to sink your teeth into? You know, you'll be continuing to be doing this and to teach people to be impact entrepreneurs, but is there something else inside you that's starting to call you and rise to the surface a little bit?
Yeah, from my personal side, my femininity. I love what you said in your book about, you know, the feminine woman is actually about being receptive, being soft, being submissive. And I think it's like kind of rising up. And as you go deeper into finding your purpose, and these layers start to strip away and strip away of, you know, like, trying, pushing, shoving, and you can just release and let go and relax and then start to reveal your true you. And so for me, that's absolutely about my femininity coming through, allowing my softness to really, really shine, to really build beautiful connections, deep relationships, deep friendships with people, because I love humanity and how we can just come together and share and collaborate, you know. So it's actually using everything I learned in work to go into every area of my life. And I think being on a journey of like unpacking your purpose can really, really bring to your connection and my love, Gabby. I'm looking to bring love into my life with my soulmate, wherever he is. Maybe he's listening to this right now. You never know.
But I think so many people experience this, Sarah, where we're fighting and we're doing, you know, we're being sold this world's, you know, message, which is it, you know, it makes sense. But that when we can get through, and you know, it's interesting is I think when we face our fears, like you've done in your business, that actually can also help us practice to do that in our life, because to be receptive is scary. It's vulnerable. But also the confusion that femininity is somehow something that's weak, or it's like, I always looked at it as it's sort of uber kick ass, right? Like, the vulnerability part has always been tricky for me. I've had to really work on that. And I have a partner that's made that safe. And then your children will force that in a different way. It's just a biological response of like, I care, I'm here, you know, but that to remind, especially for women, like, that is if you talk about superpowers, it's the ability to be of service and to be kind and to be loving. That is the power, because it doesn't mean you can't crush and say no and have boundaries, but it's not foregoing one for the other. It is that stripping away that I think is really the power, for sure.
Yes. Huge power.
Okay, so I wanna follow up with you and hear how that manifests. And if you can just direct everyone to all the important places to connect with you.
Yes, absolutely. SarahSimmons.com is my website, and you can find links to my masterclass there. Sarah Simmons London on Instagram. They're the two key places. So and connect with me. I'm there. It's got my phone number on Instagram. It's got the masterclass and email on my website. And I'm really excited to connect with more and more of you and to connect with you again, Gabby, and chat more. Today's been absolutely awesome.
Well, thank
you. So grateful to be here.
Thank you for your time. And I know it is, we're like, you know, I think we're, I don't know, 11 hours apart, but I really appreciate your time and just the thoughtful way in which you're approaching something that a lot of people are trying to navigate. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you'd like, rate, subscribe, and leave us a review. All of my music was graciously done by Frank Zumo and Tom Thacker. If you want to see some of the behind-the-scenes action, just follow me at Gabby Reese. And remember, don't miss new episodes every Monday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.